So, Polly,
Yes, ma'am.
and I have seen extraordinary things that you are capable of doing, and it's always giving me so much pleasure and just amazing respect for how you can bring things into your life. You have an amazing talent for achieving the very things you want to achieve, and you make your dreams come true, which is very unusual for, for people to do that, because you're very focused, and it's that unique talent that you have that sets you apart with the remarkable distinction and dedication to your work. Right? I mean,
That's a mouthful, and
well,
I'll
it's
take
true.
it. I'll
Yeah,
take it.
I'll certainly give it as well, because you exemplify the power of perseverance and ambition. It is your unwavering drive and strategic approach that not only distinguishes you from the crowd, but also propels you towards unparalleled success.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's go with that. See how we do.
That's a very good start, I think,
Okay. Well, you've known me for 25 years, so I'm gonna go ahead and defer to your outside observation.
No. It's you where you're focusing on today, because
Yes.
I met you many years ago, and the dream was to create the things that you wanted in your life. I mean, we worked together, and your father is Gram Parsons, who is a legendary cosmic country music artist, as well describe him. And he died at a very early age, and leaving you without a father at a very young age. But you have relentlessly pursued his vision and his dream, and you've created things that made things happen, for continuing his legacy. And I honor you and respect you for all that you do for them, because it's been remarkable. I mean, we did two sold out shows here in LA and in Santa Barbara, and you manifested, Keith Richards and Lucinda Williams, and a whole bunch of people that went along with you for that ride. And you I mean, one of the stories that always has at the front of my mind is you were able to acquire a private jet for Keith Richards to fly from, I think it was Jamaica, wasn't it? To
was
LA,
Jamaica.
yeah, to do the shows, and then send him back home to White Plains in New York. So talk to us about how all of that kind of, how did you arrive at that place in yourself? I mean, you've been through many, tribulations and many challenges, but you arrived at a place that said, I can do this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Well, I'd have to start a little bit from the beginning just
Sure.
to give some context to this, I think. My father died when I was very young. I learned about his death sitting in the living room watching the television, and it came on the news. I never saw my father again after that day. My mother, unfortunately, emotionally never came back from the death of my father. And so, non-verbally, the message early on was quite succinctly, if you're going to make it in this life, you're going to have to figure it out on your own. So, unfortunately, most of my family, except for my mother at that time, had died of addiction or suicide. Both of my grandparents died of alcoholism. My grandfather died of suicide. And then my grandmother, a year after my father died of an overdose, my grandmother on my mother's side committed suicide in my backyard.
Wow.
And so, My mom kind of went to bed after that and never got out of not never really got out of bed after that. And it was just it I think that it was a few things. One was that I, at a very young age, was very aware that there was a lot of really hurt people continuously, unknowingly hurting other people, whether it was at the in the world at large or in my immediate family. And I also, because I was quite a loner and I was quite imaginative, somehow early on decided that there was also this really beautiful, magical world around me that not a whole lot of people I knew were participating in. And because I had so much time to myself, I think that I became almost in a finely honed trauma response. I became acutely aware of the subtleties of what was going on with people and places and things around me that I don't think most people were really paying attention to, because we grow up in these family circles. It's very busy. We've got a lot of family dynamics and emotions going on around us, and we navigate and we participate, and then we go on to the next thing. And I think that I was in a little bit of a different situation, and my mom emotionally was pretty torn to pieces, and so I kind of got passed off from neighbor to neighbor to neighbor. And eventually, we ended up moving to a commune because my mom just emotionally couldn't handle herself, and there was no one to raise me. And when you got into a commune type atmosphere, it was very much the workload was spread out, so nothing felt as overwhelming. There was fresh gardening and fresh food, and everyone had their place and position within the commune if it was a healthy one. And luckily, I landed in a very healthy commune called Sunburst Farm, and I was schooled by one lady, and another lady would help me figure out bathing, and another lady would help me figure out meals, and then I would go to the next person and the next person, and they would, one person would sit down with me and teach me how to read. It was a very unusual childhood, let's just put it that way. And I had to make the best of it. And what I decided in those moments was I started to notice that if I paid attention to the intricacies of the experience instead of the tragedy of the storyline, that there was no reason that I couldn't thrive like the people or the children or the people, people around me that had normal family structures. Or at least what I deemed at the time to be more normal than the one that I was coming up in. And then I just compounded that. I kept experimenting with my own internal system as I went along, and I never got to really socialize properly because I didn't end up in a public school system until I think a couple weeks in the first grade, and maybe a couple weeks in the fourth grade, and maybe a couple weeks in the fifth grade, and then all of a sudden, we ended up back in California for whatever reason, and I was thrown into the public school system for the first time in eighth grade, and I was shell shocked. I didn't understand the geography of a school system. I didn't understand how to get to my classes. I w had never had a regular schooling structure, so I didn't understand assignments. I was horribly behind, but I was determined and I was tenacious, and the one thing I knew how to do was dance. And so I tried to identify what the most important dance school was within the city I was in Santa Barbara, and that was, you know, 15, 20 miles away from where I was living. So I would bus every day to school. And by the time I was 13, I moved out of my mother's house and into a girlfriend's house who was closer to the high school. And I was failing out of all 4 years of high school because I just had no understanding of the scholastic structure. And they ended up passing me because it was dance-based. And I would imagine that a majority of their funding came because of the dance program. And that was the one thing I thrived in. So I graduated high school. I really wanted to go to college. I really wanted to be a doctor. And that wasn't going to happen. So I started knocking on doors and at the hospital. And finally, a doctor answered the door. He just happened to be the chief of pediatrics at Valley Presbyterian Hospital in Van Nuys. And I said, I know you don't know who I am, but I promise if you hire me, you'll never regret it. And he did. And so I worked. I would spend hours in his office after the office closed, reading his medical journals and learning and teaching myself. And he taught me, he basically trained me as an LVN in his pediatric office. And I just kept learning and building and learning and building, and I would be curious about the next thing, and went into gynecology, and then I went into GYN oncology and started working with female cancer patients. And finally I decided, well, I'd love to be a surgeon. So I found a surgeon that would train me in his private practice to be a surgical nurse. And I just kind of have developed a life around that premise, which is, what are you curious about? How can you learn to do it? How can you focus and humble yourself to the process of the discomfort of having to learn to do it? And how can you master it? How can you be of service to the subject matter and the people involved? And then what do you want to do next? And so and that's how I live my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's much of a recipe, but it works for me.
Oh, no, it sounds like a fantastic recipe, actually. It really does. But it's all about perseverance, too, which is something that you definitely have, because you persevered. You knocked on his door and you said, hire me. You won't regret it. And he didn't. And he hired you. And you know, you took the challenge and ran with it.
I did. And I have to say that if I was to sit across from anybody that is feeling lost or struggling or confused right now in this moment, I would have to say, take a look at your most immediate history. And if we're really, really honest about it, you are your greatest experiment. And if you can quiet your mind down and take a step away from the craziness of the world outside yourself, whether that's 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 hours, if you settle the chatter that's going on around you, what you'll find is that there's this baseline of knowledge within yourself that will start to give you answers if you can listen long enough to hear them.
Absolutely. It's listening, isn't it? It's listening to yourself. It's listening to the quieter voice in yourself, which is your wisdom.
Exactly. And that's extraordinarily, exceedingly hard to do in this day and age, because we are constantly consuming everything outside of us. And really, you have this finely tuned navigation system within yourself. Period, end of story. It's not just me. It's not just the successful guy next door. It's not all those things on the outside of you. You have this masterful navigation system within you. And once you learn how to master your own energy and you learn the subtleties of that system, you can actually work with it and in a much more tangible way than you would ever have imagined. And I think that that's really where success ends up compounding and building itself. And I know that this sounds very ethereal and it sounds very, you know, far reaching, but the fact of the matter is that it's extraordinarily true. And if you give it a second, it kicks in and you're off and running. And once you get a taste for that kind of joyful momentum, you don't rework the system again. You settle into it and you let the flow continue. And it works in every subject matter, whether it's your career or your love life or your child raising. It's extraordinary. And we are all too exhausted to actually listen long enough to get going in the momentum that will actually take us really, really where we wanted to go in the first place.
Absolutely. But it is about, you know, harnessing the power within you. It's like literally you're saying you need to know who you are, because too many people look outside themselves and it's about everybody else is controlling them, but that's not the truth at all. Really, the truth is whatever is going on inside of oneself is going to be manifested outside. So
no matter what.
Yes.
You to the detriment or to the help or to the harm of you as a human.
Yes.
You create that whole experience first, and this is just fact. This is epigenetics. This is proven science. We create every experience that we are having first in our mind. We create a thought, and then it creates a feeling, and then that feeling starts to gain momentum. And then you can feel it if you really sit back, you can feel this like cycling of negativity start to drain not only your life force, but your finances and your joy and everything around you, because it builds momentum. It's an energy. You are 90% energy. You are 10% physical matter. And it builds itself in the positive just as fast as it builds itself in the negative, if you can be masterful about training your brain to focus on the things that actually serve you and then build on that.
Well, fantastically well said. So how do we do that? How does one do that? How do you train the brain? How do you get from A to B to C to D? How do you overcome the challenges that brings you?
You have to be diligent and you have to be ninja. Like, you cannot flinch. You have got to be uncomfortable for a second. You've got to realize that your way hasn't been working and there might be a way that does. And you have to be curious enough to investigate it long enough to let it prove to you that it starts to create the things you desire in your physical reality. Once you can quantify that this solution or understanding your own internal system has merit, then you don't want to step off it at all. And some of the ways that are really helpful for me, because everybody has their own specific recipe, and being curious enough about what works for you is as simple as taking a step back and writing, you know, notes of this feels good and this doesn't feel good. I like soft, I don't like hard. I like sweet, I don't like salty. I enjoy this type of sun at this type of day. I mean, I take it down to the most microscopic thing. But the first thing you absolutely need to do is take a step back, get a baseline, release your stories. Release the stories of, for instance, sorry to jump around here.
Oh, no, please do. I'm following you. Believe me.
One of the things that 2 decades of working with people with mental health and addiction issues taught me is that to a person, what I noticed the most prevalent within the story structure of why we end up backsliding into addiction and depression seems to be around some type of messaging that we got early on, either from a caretaker or a mother or a father type figure. And it usually ends up being around some type of messaging that has to do with some form of you're not worthy or you're not lovable just the way you are, right?
Absolutely.
Now that sounds kind of, okay, well, you know, when, okay, well, actually, this tiny child that you are takes that information and subconsciously files it. And as you get older, you start to take on the baggage of everyone and everything around you, losing the innocence that you had. And you start to make decisions and build this human that you're creating as you grow. You start to make decisions based on that initial fear that somehow you are not fundamentally really okay the way you are. And you go on throughout your life and you do really well at this and you do really well at that. And then some trigger will come up sooner or later. And that initial original wound gets scratched again. And that fear of I'm not enough comes up again. And you make the next decision that usually sacrifices in some way or another who you truly are and what you truly need. And you settle for what you think you deserve. And then it calcifies and then it compounds. And then slowly but surely you die a little bit every day because you're not living at least one portion of your life in your authentic truth. You could be wildly successful in other areas of your life, but this one area of your life just never feels quite right. And there's resistance there. There's no flow in that area of your life. And the soul's main purpose is joy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So sooner or later, it'll tap on your shoulder and it'll go, hey, buddy, something's not right here. And you keep plowing forward. Why? Because now you've made all these decisions and have all these responsibilities behind that first initial decision based on fear that you have to keep pretending for.
Right.
Right? And so the problem, it kind of like concentric circles or a ripple effect, the problem gets bigger and more complex and more people involved and more money involved and more life involved. And now you're getting buried in the avalanche of the original falsehood, which was you need to settle for this decision because you really deep down inside are not good enough or unlovable to do something different or choose a different path. So then you come to a jumping off point, and we either become addicted or we become numb or we become angry or we become depressed. And some part of us just doesn't want to go on anymore. And we hit kind of, for lack of a better term, a dark night of the soul. And right then is where you have an option.
Yeah, I know. Leona Grace says in the chat, she says, sometimes it wasn't said. It was shown in different ways in the passive aggressiveness, you know, in that quiet,
exactly.
In that very loud quietness that goes on within people.
Oh, Leona, that is such a beautiful, beautiful point. And let's take a look at that for a second to your point, Leona. The passive aggression. The fact that your soul, your tiny little person knows something is not right around you, but no one's putting words to it, is just as loud as the verbal abuse as if it was spoken. Because we know when something's not right. And when no one's acknowledging that something's not right, it feels even that more
intense,
yeah. If we can unhook if we can, and I use the word unhook because it's true, it's a hook and it's bait. If we can unhook the narrative and settle your nervous system by taking a step away from everything around you via negativity, people, places, things, social media, you know, crap food, all of this stuff that we do to punish and dumb ourselves down or numb ourselves out to the hurt. If we can take us just a pause and be gentle for a second and unhook the narrative and start to rebuild that internal system and regroove new neural pathways based in, I don't even need you to get crazy, you know, joyful, positive, but at least give yourself a break and get neutral for a minute. If you can unhook that narrative long enough and start rebuilding those messages with anything that feels better on a daily basis, just a little better every day, that starts to compound. Right. That starts to compound. Now, when I wake up in the morning, this is going to sound ridiculous. If I wake up and my, the first thing my brain goes is, oh my God, I have to do this. I have to do that. I go, no.
Yes.
No, sister. Take a step. Take a step back. You know what? The sunlight in my room is gorgeous right now. I cannot wait to get in a warm shower. And here's the theory behind that. Is that we can't, you guys have heard that term, you can't eat an elephant all in one bite, right? Or you can't eat an elephant all at the same, you gotta eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can get from a place of fear or anxiety to a place of neutral or little better if you take tiny thoughts and join them together, moving the scale in the up, right? You can't go from freaked out to stoked out in 36 seconds, but I bet you $10 you can go from freaked out to, oh my God, you know what? A warm shower sounds really good right now, which is totally compoundable with the right song list, with the right breakfast, with the right walk, with the right, and dude, once you get going, everything around you is a cooperating component.
Yes, I love that. And I think that's one of the things that people do not understand is that once you stop the chatter and the negatives and the whatever, once you kind of arrive at that place that says enough, stop, and think something positive to counter it, then you're on a different path. And
exactly.
And then that becomes a magnet then to the things that you want, you know.
And a magnet is an understatement. It's yes. A powerful, powerful generator you've got inside you, yourself. You have so much power. And if you can learn to curate and cultivate that, the power that you have within you by meditation, by prayer, by actually making an effort to remember that everything you want out there starts inside you. Period, end of story, all day, every day. Give it a try and watch it become reality, and then you won't ever question it anymore. And I stopped questioning it about 25, 30 years ago. But there was a minute when I was crumbling in the middle of the first gigantic project I ever did. And I remember the day when it was all about to go really, really beautifully, and I was exhausted. We had been on 10,000 miles an hour for almost a year and a half, and I was ready to just call it. And you came up to me in the middle of a board meeting, in the middle of the House of Blues, and literally shook me and looked at me dead in the eyes and said, "Polly, the only way out is through, and we can't do this without you. So get it together." And I was like, oh my God, you're right. And I just never, I've had moments of taking breaks and doing things that don't require a whole bunch of, you know, emotional, physical, mental energy. And I've had some moments of just taking some time off, but for the most part, I just really enjoy the creative collaboration with something that's much bigger than me, because none of this has anything to do with me. It just has to do with me being willing enough to participate with it. And you won't know what I'm talking about until you give it a try.
Well, you've got to step aside from the day-to-day internal conversation. You've got to put that to one side and try something different. You can't keep going down that same path
Exactly.
thinking,
What are you getting? What is
yeah.
it serving? And if your life is not feeling good to you, ask yourself, why are you continuing to use the same ingredients? What are you getting out of that feeling? What are you getting out of not getting into the flow of what you really do want? Is it some belief system? Is it some, you're constantly getting something out of being
Yes.
miserable. You're if you're not happy with your life, there's a reason that you're continuing to do the same thing. There's some payoff. There always is some subconscious payoff, and that's the work. That's your work, is to figure out why do I keep repeating the same behaviors expecting to get different results?
Exactly, because I think it's comfort, you know, but it's comfort in the wrong way. The comfort, you know, what you were saying earlier, I really loved about you've got to be in that discomfort. You've got to be in that place because that's the transition that helps you go from A to B to C to D, and it guides you. But it's important to listen. Like, what is it? What are you really saying to yourself? You know, sometimes I will sit there and I'll think about it and I'll laugh. I'll go, oh God, I didn't get it before. Now I've got it, you know. You know, but you've got to sit in it long enough to be able to hear it. It's a quiet voice, and you've got to listen to that quiet voice because that's going to say to you, move in this direction. I mean, I remember walking down, where was I? I was in the middle of New York somewhere. In some unknown place in New York, and I remember saying, turn. I could feel myself saying, turn left. And I turned left, and I took about 10 steps and met this dear friend that I'd been thinking about all week. And you know, I'm like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in London. He goes, what are you doing here? But I wouldn't have met him and created, you know, we ended up creating a whole project together from that one moment of just turning left. So you have to hear yourself. Understand yourself and know what the triggers are. Know, you know, what that downward spiral starts because you could be happy and things are going right, and then suddenly, boom, you start going down that downward spiral.
And there's a point, Versa. So when
Yes.
it feels key, when you're going and you're feeling good, and then all of a sudden it starts to take a turn for the worst, if you notice, if you're honest with yourself, there's a feeling of chaos that starts. Oh my God, I'm getting chaotic, and I can feel like literally like circling of the drain, like when water starts to circle the bathtub drain, there's a vortex to it, right? And when you
Right.
feel that chaos starting to come up, if you can step back for a second and literally recenter yourself and feel for the next direction or move that is going towards flow, all you have to do is feel for resistance or flow. Start practicing that. Just to the listeners right now, I ask you for the next 7 days, just start to pay attention to when you feel resistance in your body. If it's not a full body yes, it's a no. When you start to feel resistance in your body, that is a message. When you start to feel flow and relaxed in your body, or excitement in front of a person, in front of a subject, in front of a thing, in front of a project, that is a sign to keep going. If you feel any type of tightness in your body, that is a sign to pull back, recenter, and reassess. Just those two things, just practicing those two things as an experiment with yourself and taking notes of what you find will blow your mind.
I love
Period.
that. I know. Really, truly. Because that's how the magic happens.
And it's a really beautiful, fluid place to be if you want to participate with it, and it never fails to work.
So, are you up for us answering some questions?
Oh, if you're interested in asking any, sure.
Yeah. Oh no, because to me, it really is about breathing as well,
Oh God. Whoo, that's a big one. That's
because
a
that the breathing
big one.
in and that's how you get your flow is like that quiet space and then the breath that comes into it.
So let me ask you guys a question. To a person, one of the things that we're gonna know what that we notice is that whenever we are in fear or anxiety, what do we do first? What do we notice if you're paying attention is that we are holding our breath, sometimes for days. Sometimes for days we are in the kitchen making dinner, and if you notice your tongue is pressed to the top of your the roof of your mouth, your shoulders are jacked, probably in pain, and tweaked up towards your ears, but you are constantly holding your breath. So breath is super, super, super important, because when you are in fear and anxiety, the flow of energy within your own personal system is automatically pinched off. When that flow gets pinched off, nothing moves. If you can consistently be aware of your breath and taking deep breaths often, every time you feel a jolt of anxiety come up, and if you can start to exercise that muscle and practice that skill, you will be shocked at how much more flow you have in your daily life. If you can't do that, your plate is too full. Period.
I'm breathing right now, Polly.
Intentional deep breathing, intentional deep breathing is so incredibly beneficial for creativity and creation of your desires and your dreams and your goals.
Love it. So we have Lockie here who wants to ask a question. Good morning, Lockie.
Good morning. Good morning to Vesa and Paulie. Long time listener, first time caller. I love saying that. Anyways, Paulie, this is really wonderful and refreshing to hear in regards to this acting world and that we're in and this creative world that we're in. I appreciate and everything you've shared in regards to your past and how you've endured and what you thought was the right thing. And it reminds me in some small ways about what I've done. And that is through it all, if you truly are listening to your as you say, your body, I say instinct, but here's what I've learned. They're all the same title. Hey, intuition. Hey, it's
Yep.
something told me. Hey, it's my gut feeling. They're all the same.
Yeah.
And it's basically the better you are at learning to listen to that unconditionally,
Yes,
the
there it
better
is.
off you'll be. And the problem is that I've noticed when I've talked to friends and even looked at my things in my life, it's always the doubt that delayed what you were about to go through anyway, good or bad.
Yeah.
And your instinct is already telling you that thousandth, zillionth of a second, it told you what to do, but you came in with your brain and said,
Yep. Yep.
but, and then what, 2 months later, something told me not to date her.
Yeah.
Something told me not to, and it's
Yeah.
just, I bring that to the same place in my acting world. And it's, I follow it blindly. I don't question it because I don't know what's going to happen. And that's the human nature, isn't it? We must have answers for everything. And if we do not have the answer, I'm going to make it familiar.
Yeah.
I don't know what that UFO was, but you know what? I bet it's from Mars. What? You just
Right.
said UFO. That makes no sense.
Right.
And we have to put a face on it because of the fear of the unknown. And instinct, truly listening, is the unknown. And that's why so many people falter and delay or don't even get what they should get. Versus just said it. Hey, something told me to turn the corner. You know, dude, I've been there a zillion times.
Right.
I've been there a zillion times. And I've even told friends, you know, sometimes I've done that and there was nothing that happened, but maybe it did, but I didn't know. It was probably for my benefit. And I only say that because of all the examples of when I did see the result of listening to my instinct. So I want to just give you praise and props and everything that I can possibly give you. I've only tasted a part of your world, and I know that bitter taste, and it is, I'll end with this. I think it's pretty amazing to have you talk about this because the even in the middle of the storm, even when everything is chaotic going around you, you know, your instinct already told you what to do. Yeah. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel bad or whatever. Oh, you know, that's fine. But I swear to you, I bet you already were told what to do.
And
it is all done. You're done. Yes, go ahead, please.
No, I thank you. Thank you so much. And right on for bringing up the point about trusting your instinct and trusting your gut. And yes, to your point, it is all the same thing. You have an internal navigation system that is incredibly complex, beautifully built, highly tuned, and very few use it. And the funny thing is that if you don't know what you don't know, then trusting it is just as unfamiliar or strange as using your brain, you know, to make decisions. Why not give it a try and not question it at all and see where that leads you? And, you know, one of the things that I do, and I do it often, is every no is a yes and every yes is a yes, period. End of story. I don't know what the no is creating in the back line, in the backstory of the script of my life that's going to turn into a bigger yes later. But I do know that if I get into fear and doubt and anxiety, then I'm completely immobile. I become catatonic in fear and doubt and anxiety. And then I serve no purpose except to be a cog in a wheel that I never enjoyed in the first place. So I guess trying to be fluid and trying to learn what your gut is saying so that you can start to experiment with what it feels like when it's a yes and what it feels like when it's a no is the first step in a very beautifully kaleidoscopic complex process that only gets bigger as you learn the skills of it.
Agreed. I totally agree.
I also want to say, but there's sometimes there are no answers.
And that's an answer.
And that's an answer.
Right, that's exactly. What I was saying. Exactly.
And the answer will reveal itself.
Yeah.
By just every breathing yes, and quietening yes the mind yes. And really focusing on the present moment, the you know, this moment exists, this moment exists, that moment doesn't exist. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's where the focus should be always in this moment, because this moment is going to make the next moment happen. And the decision really is, how do you want that next moment to be? Do you want it to be in the direction you want it to be, or do you want it to be in the direction that you don't want it to go?
Because it's all up to you.
It's all up to you.
If you end up creating it, no matter to the good or to the detriment of your own being, you end up creating it. It's up to you. Where do you want to go? I mean, the free will thing is mind blowing to me. It's like we're given this complex navigation system, and then we're given this brain that really should only be used for left or right turns, you know. And then we're given, you know, free will. It's like, I try to keep my brain out of things unless I need it to figure out complex situations. But when it has to do with this theme and the story of my life, I try to just trust my heart, and it just works better. But
Absolutely.
It takes a second. It takes a second to get okay with the fact that you feel like you're submitting control. You feel, because we're such control freaks.
But it's also, I mean, the way to look at it too is the navigation is to look at it as a internal ways, you know, like today I'm
going,
you know, to,
that's a good one.
I'm dialing in today, you know, I'm going to wherever, I'm going to train, you know, I'm going to acting classes, and I'm going to really feel vulnerable today, you know, then, and then it will take you there, because that's where the intention is already there, and you will get there. You want to win, you know, you want to gain a series regular, then dial it in your ways maps and say, okay, series regular, let's go. I have to turn left on Doheny and right on Beverly, and, you know,
or
and
go
so
bigger.
On.
Sometimes
or
I
go
leap,
bigger.
Sometimes
know?
I leapfrog moments. Like sometimes I'll set a goal and then I'll set a goal larger than that behind it, and I'll focus on the larger goal, and like a domino effect, the goal that's smaller falls into place faster.
Absolutely.
But that was what I told myself my original goal was the series regular. But instead, I'll go past that by one or two and focus my intention and my energy on the larger goal.
Absolutely.
Stay out of fear and resistance.
Yeah. And also, people tend to think that you have to be at this high level all the time. But there isn't a high or a low level. It's who you are and the energy that you bring into the world every single moment of your day, you know?
Absolutely. And not being like anyone else. I mean, like,
yes.
My personal recipe would look so strange to the outside world. And I don't waver from it. It doesn't look normal. I don't care what Bob on his couch in his pajamas thinks about, you know, whether what I'm doing in my daily life to keep my system, you know, primed and ready for excitement and success and joy and love. I don't care what he thinks, because my personal recipe works for me, and your personal recipe will be very, very unique, and you should celebrate it and adore it and revel in it and fucking take over the world with it, because there's so much to do and there's so many beautiful creative things to create, and being like everyone else was never the answer in the first place. That's not why they're hiring you. They're hiring you because you are uniquely you. So fine-tune that.
Exactly.
And Versa,
yes.
I just want to say one quick thing. The breathing technique for me, though I don't think any of them are wrong as long as you're doing some type of breathing, it was something I had read about the Navy SEALs, and they hold their breath for a count of four, exhale for a count of four.
That's right, yes.
Hold for a count of four, repeat until they start to calm down. And I've done that. And it actually works. It's really, and it works on a fly. It's really quick, you know what I mean? So just something I went through right now. Thanks.
Yeah. The other thing that I use as a trick for large moments is instead of I'm so nervous, the brain does something different with the term I'm so excited.
Yes.
I am so excited to go out there on that audition in front of those 65,000 people that I don't, blah, blah, blah. I'm so excited, and you'll notice the feeling in your body shifts immediately.
Yeah.
And it does. It really does.
Oh, yeah. It does.
Okay. So thank you, Lockie. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Polly.
Hi, Sheila.
This has just been fantastic. And
yay!
I keep having questions, all these questions, and then you answer them.
Oh,
but
right on.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And I have experienced so much of what you have talked about, and it honestly feels like a gift when it happens. And Lockie, one of my things is I've heard like take four deep breaths, which is what you suggested, and your body has no choice but to relax.
That's right.
But I also feel like even though intuition or gut, whatever that is so valuable. There's something cool that you said about the neural transmitters, if I can say it, about how they respond. So it is actually science-based, too. And I think for people that are skeptical, that is so cool. And I wondered if you might be able to talk a little bit more about how that works.
Well, from what I've researched and what I've understood and what I've created programs around for other people that are healing from trauma, is that we groove these neural pathways with these behaviors and these thought patterns that we create, and they literally become, you know, grooves, and then they become habitual thoughts and habitual patterns, and habitual things start to happen from getting stuck in that rut of a groove of a neural pathway. And if we can be mindful about unhooking whatever that thought pattern is and start to pay attention to the fact that 90% of what you're creating in your reality right now is based on the ease or resistance of where your nervous system is at. Are you tense and flipped out? Well, you're probably going to produce some tense, flipped out moments today. Did you start your day trying to center and get into ease and flow? Well, chances are you're going to start to create that in your reality. And those are actually neural pathways. And you can neutralize that deep groove and that rut and that hamster wheel feeling of, why do I always get on Instagram for 10 minutes and then look at my watch and it's 6 hours later? Or why do I keep doing this? If you can mindfully start to take action in the opposite direction and then build something healthier for yourself, you actually start firing different chemicals in your brain, and you start rewiring your own brain and creating different neural pathways. So just like we said before, every thought, it turns into something, right? It does something to your subconscious, and you can wire your own brain and your own subconscious to the positive and to the creation dial, if you will, like a frequency, like a radio station, or you can tune your radio station and your thoughts and groove the pathways of your actual brain into the detriment of your own physical being. And fortunately or unfortunately, we are given free will to do either or. Yeah, there's a ton of science behind this. And if you guys want to, if that helps you not be skeptical, and take a look at epigenetics, take a look at the deep science of meditation and breath work, holotropic breath work, for instance, take a look at classes around you, take one, and get back on this show another day with me and Versa, if we ever do it again, and tell me you didn't have a profound experience. There is a whole world of amazing, cultivated and very, very thoroughly researched facts around the subject matter of mastering your own energetic field. And we are just now starting to scratch the surface of it. But we've all known this has been going on in ourselves internally, but we haven't been willing or able to put words to it before. And now science is catching up to it, which is bringing it much more mainstream, which allows us to reach many, many more people with the fact that we really are the solution. You specifically, individually, are the solution to all of it.
I love that. And I just think it's so heartening to know that there is science behind it too. And just, you know, mind, body, and soul. Again, here we are.
Yep.
But, you know, I had a mentor that told me once, you know, when you get chills, when you know, that's soul, that's bigger. That's your energy field responding to something bigger than you and connecting to something bigger than you. And I just love that. And, you know, if we can experience, I feel the experience of even listening to you, I have chills. What a cool thing. And if we can just pay attention to that.
Cultivate more of it. That's on you. You are the chef in this kitchen. Have at it.
Yep.
Don't flinch. Don't blink. Get to the edge of that of that door that's marked fear, fling it open, and I guarantee you there's nothing there.
It's awesome. And I think your story is awesome, and you are completely inspiring. So thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
I think we have to remember that we are the product of our parents, 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 parents infinitum.
Yes.
And the thing that we have to understand too is that with quantum physics, they are now looking at, on a cellular level, you know, our experiences from all of the generations are in our cells.
Yeah.
So the wisdom is always there, and it's important to be able to trust yourself enough to quieten the mind, to listen to what it's saying to you. And that's the key. And I find that sometimes people do have the dreams, and they do manifest the dreams, and when they're almost there, they unravel and they go down that spiral in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it always astounds me, because I look at it and I go, wow, you know, that dream that they always wanted, they're going back to some childhood trauma or story.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and they're appealing to that childhood story, not to the current story that says you're successful.
And we end up living our lives based on the story of a 9-year-old girl or boy, or fill in the age blank.
Yes, fill in the age. Yes, exactly, exactly. So that's why one needs to do the work, and particularly as an actor too, as an actor, to do the work to get past the barriers that hold you back from really achieving the things that you want to achieve.
You know, I think being an actor in this work, specifically in this subject matter of what we're talking about, it lends itself so beautifully.
Oh, because
you guys, your gift is the embodiment of a character that you have never met before. And that is what this work is asking you to do, is to embody the character of your highest self, of the highest version of you, and now go out there on a daily and live it. And that's you were built for this. You were built for this, literally built for it. This is your gift. So the fact that you're able to manifest the creation of the unknown by embodying a character that only exists as far as you create it, you know, in from the paper into your mind, into your body, onto the screen, this is cake.
This is such a beautiful
bridge from this to that.
Yeah, and this is what separates the ones that go on and continue to be successful,
right,
as opposed to the ones who give in to the doubt and to the part of themselves that is going to beat them up.
Right.
Anyway, right. Thank you, Sheila. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, Polly, I got to tell you a story. The first time I met Bursa was that thing, hey, get yourself together.
It was, yeah. She's was great at that. Meeting. She doesn't mince words, does she, Gary?
Oh, no. That was a blithering mess. Anyway, I've got to say, I've just loved this. Oh my gosh. Yes. No, the whole story, every bit of it. And I've got to say, I've been practicing breath for years. I've been fascinated with it, and I discovered it through a course in it was called Accelerated Learning. It was based on heart math stuff, but I used to be a trainer for years, a corporate trainer, and I trained people like convenience store people, grocery bars and restaurants, so people who are kinesthetic and not typically want to stop and sit in a classroom. So I had to get their attention, and I always I would open my class with breath, and I found that I would do it, and then my other trainers started making fun of me, so I stopped, and I noticed a difference completely between when I opened my class with breath, and my classroom would be people from all over the spectrum. Just think of convenience stores, grocery and bars. It's all those people in my room of all ages, and I have to bring them together as a unit. And I used breath for years, and I've used breath in a rudimentary sense. But my question to you is, when did you finally you start finding breath taking you to the navigation system?
What a beautiful question. Probably about 15 years ago, I stumbled across a holotropic breath workshop, and it was being given in a treatment center. And I was astounded at the experience that I had. It was given, it was facilitated with very, very large scale, sweeping soundtracks of epic type, you know, orchestra movie, you know, blockbuster soundtrack type feeling. It wasn't anything I could identify, thank God, because that would have taken me out of the meditation. But that was the moment that I realized a couple things. One was music really moves me differently than I thought it did, especially certain combinations of music. It stimulated some part of my brain that I have never ever stepped off of since then. And the second was deep breathing combined with powerful music that is anything from epic to soothing, whether it's I don't know if you know very much about sofregio frequencies, but there's layers to everything we're talking about, and the deeper you go, the more, you know, mystical it gets, but the more powerful it becomes too. And the
oops,
versa. Are you here? Are you there? Sorry,
yes,
about that.
We're here. Yeah, we're here.
The deep breathing combined with the music allowed me to tap into, I guess, what they would call the superconscious mind. And there's just kind of a whole different sequence of events that kind of cascades from that experience. And what I noticed was that because I wasn't really steeped in the ways of the world, I wasn't a real, I didn't have a whole lot of indoctrination from family or extended family. I was much more easily physically and mentally and emotionally free to go to places that were a bit deeper in that subject matter. And so when I started to facilitate deep breathing workshops and breath work, I took it into the sober living and the treatment centers that I was developing, and people, just like they did with you, they laughed at me, and they really, really questioned my sanity. Like, why would you do that? You know, that has nothing to do with addiction. What are you doing? This is weird. And the results were pretty astounding. And now in the city that I started my treatment center in Austin, Texas, that is literally part of the regular programming in every single treatment center that I have come across in Austin. And now it's very widely used. So deep integrative breath work, you can check out workshops all around you. Take a session, you know, if you're skeptical, give it a try, see how it feels for you. If it's going to take you to the next level of manifesting the desires of your dreams, and you've got to admit that there's things that you don't understand yet, get curious. And yeah, breath work is a really profound tool.
Love it. How fantastic. Well, we're almost at the end of our room where we are, past our hour, but I just...
Yay!
I have about 100 more questions for you, Polly, but
well, maybe,
good.
Maybe next time.
We could invite you back in. I'm sure everybody would love to have you back in and continue this conversation. Yes. So I just wanted to say, you know, this this kind of quote from you, like, what would, you know, give us a quote about, you know, what we're talking about, like an end of show quote that would get everybody riled up.
You have an incredibly beautiful life waiting for you. The question is, are you truly participating to the best of your ability? And if not,
why not?
Have at it.
I love it.
Why not? Why not?
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I always say to everybody, don't give up, keep going. It's all there in front of you, waiting to be taken.
Get curious, be gentle, be fearless, and kick some ass.
Well, I do that.
I know you do.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you so much, Polly. You're incredibly inspiring. And thank you for being here. And thank you for everyone for turning up to listen. See you here next week at the same time, 10 a.m. Fridays. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful week, a very successful week. We want more stories of success next week. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.